Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon.
I love the Word of God. I really do. It changed me in 1975. I was a lost sinner, didn't care about God, didn't care about anybody. I was a drunk. I treated my family terrible. My wife got saved 2 weeks before I did. And when I went over to see her, she said, "You should have brought your clothes," because we were separated at that time. And we got back together and just got married to Jesus. And we've been trying to serve Him ever since. In our lifespan of over, as a Christian, over since 1975, we got saved. So it's been a lot of years, and we're very thankful. I'm thankful for Karen, what she does, and there'll be a lot of kids, I believe, young people, that when we're in heaven, like the song says, thank you. I believe there'll be a lot of them saying thank you to Miss Karen. I said thank you this morning for serving with me this long. Sometimes we mess up and don't recognize our wives like we should. Awful quiet. I'm going to have to get me an amen up. Amen. All right. I won't bring it up yet. All right. Exodus. We begin reading, I reckon, in verse number 20. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. You can never hide under darkness. You can stay there a while, but the light, they know there's something different here. And they say it down towards the end here. But it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. That's an interesting thing, the waters divided. Can you imagine that? Being out here on the lake and it divides? That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. That's interesting. A lot of things happen in the east, don't they? And it says, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. When you're right with God, you'll be on dry land. You need to change mics. Time out. Thank you. All right. Amen. All right. That sound better? That's my heart. It's not much. Amen. We'll pick it back up into the verse 22. We'll read it again. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry land. Wow. And the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Now, interesting thing, verse 25, and took their chariot wheels. He took off their chariot wheels. Do you know, recently they found over there by the Red Sea where they think they came in, they found a bunch of chariots with no wheels on them. Think about that. It's Bible, amen? And see, he took them off, and he says he said, and they drave their heavity, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." You know who showed up? God. God always shows up when the devil's after you, amen? I want to pray, and then I want to preach to you a sermon called Bogged Down. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for giving this evening to us. Thank you for the girls singing from their hearts, Lord. And
staying close to you. What messages each song had in them. Thank you for Brother Tracy and the family, church family, and everything you do for us. Thank you for the support for many years here, God. Now help us. We want to help some folks tonight. So help me, Lord, to be the servant I need to be, and forgive me my sins and cleanse me. And we plead the blood of Jesus. Let lives be changed tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Bogged down. What do you think about? Down home, they got these big tractors and race cars, I guess they are, but they'll go through this mud, and some of them get bogged down. They just stop. You know, in the Christian life, I want to think of this tonight as this. Some of us are bogged down. We're bogged down. We don't see, we got her in first gear, and we're trying to get out of the mud. Guess what? You can't. Something's wrong. What is it? You know what I think in our churches today? We're bogged down in sins. Right. Right. We got things going on we shouldn't be having going on in our lives. Amen.
Amen, brother.
So we need to get closer to Him. So how do we do that? We get rid of the sins. Now, you understand about sins. You say, well, I am a sinner. I am too. But I'm saved by grace. Amen. Think about that. Sins are, the word sins is plural, right? Now, I'm not an English scholar. You'll probably figure that out the time I'm done preaching here. But I'd butcher the English language. The English teachers go, what did he say? So it's plural, and that means many sins. We have sins in our life. You say, what do you mean? Well, I'm a diabetic. I love Snicker bars. I love Snicker bars. You say, why? Because I'm a diabetic and I like sugar. But sometimes it bogs me down when I eat two or three. Like today they had peanut butter fudge. Tonight you got ice cream.
Amen,
so I've been inhaling all this sugar today. And I've got to drive 14 hours tomorrow. I'm going to feel it a little bit. But you know, it's like you get a sugar bogs you down. It makes you not want to do what you want to do. I had to get out of them lights. Wow. I have been operated on 7 times on my eyes, so them lights hurt a little bit, that's why. But let's think about sins. What is it that keeps you from serving God? You know, come on. You don't have to tell me, but what, just think right now, what keeps you from serving God? What is it? What could it be? I've had things in my life, it's sugar sometimes. It might be that I watched too much ball games and didn't read my Bible like I should that day. Whoa. NASCAR, baseball, watching the Tigers almost lose last night. I stayed up. I watched it. I was going, went to bed about, I don't know, whenever it was over. But you know what? My St. Louis team won. They're 2-0. Are you, most of you Tiger fans or St. Louis fans? St. Louis? Tigers?
Yes, sir.
I'm a Tiger fan tonight. I'm not dumb. I know where my support comes from. Amen. But we can get things that bog us down. You know, you think of it. You got you're running good. Boy, you're running good for the Lord. And all of a sudden, you go into the mud hole. You're not reading your Bible. You're not praying. You're criticizing everybody under the sun. Amen. And everything doesn't go right. Why does he want to do that? Why do we need to remodel the church? Now, pastor's not talked to me about anything. And I think you probably did it because you wanted to, I hope. But some churches argue what color the carpet should be. I've seen fist fights in church over stupid things. But what keeps us when we're bogged down? Why do we get bogged down? Because we're not putting him first. We're spinning our wheels. I got to get out of this mess. I got to get out of this mess. So what happens? Well, all of a sudden we get this little attitude. Well, you know, I don't think I'm going to go to church this morning. Now, I did that about a month ago. I didn't want to go to church. I was tired, and I said, give me one reason why I got to go to church, Karen. You're the preacher. So I had to go. I went. In the winter, man, it's hard to get out there, you know. Oh, man. But, you know, we get bogged down, pulling us away from God. Our attitude says it all. You say, you know, maybe your little boy or little girl has an attitude. Who they been watching? Mommy and Daddy. I've got one here somewhere. Amen, where'd it go? Where'd it go? There it is. We got that right. Amen. We get attitude, you know. It's funny, some couples, you know, be fighting on the way to church, and the kids are sitting in the back going, scared to death. Daddy's run a stop sign. He's, get to church, and he walks in, Pastor, we're so happy to be here today. Oh, it's such a blessing to be here. And the kids are going, what did he say? And the wife's going, we're happy to be here. It was a fight to even get him out the door. Oh, man. So you see what I'm saying? We get attitudes. I don't know about y'all, but I love serving God.
Amen.
You know, I get bogged down sometimes. I mean, I really get bogged down. I've had operations on my eyes. I've had four vertebrae messed up. My hip is messed up. My sciatic nerves messed up. My eyes. Did I say my eyes already? I got a mind that's, I don't know if I have dementia or whatever it is, but I know one thing. I know who the Lord is.
That's right.
Woo! Amen. I get excited. I know I can serve him today through all these problems I have with my health. I get up in the morning, and sometimes I crawl, but I can get up and I can go to work and help some young people with their lives.
Amen.
Help some staff to do their job and help some young people. A lot of teenagers here tonight. These kids can tell you, respect and love what you have. Don't get bogged down in, well, when I'm 18, I'm leaving. Or be real stupid, when I'm 18, I'm going to join the Marines, be my own boss. Yeah, really. I can't wait to move out, you know. It don't work that way, y'all. Stay home as long as you can. If you're a girl, stay under your daddy's umbrella. I think I preached on the umbrella here one year. Stay under the umbrella of God.
Amen.
Don't let them fiery weapons or darts come in and destroy your life. But we get bogged down in sins. Now here's number two, and I've got a good mind still. It's serving. Get bogged down in serving. I've heard people say, "Well, you know, I'm in the nursery again. I just run my bus route, but I got to be in the nursery again today." What is nursery work? It's an important job. It's serving.
That's right.
Serving. If a little, you know, that little baby screams and yells all the time in there, put one of them pacifiers in his mouth. And if he needs change, Karen. Amen. But, you know, we get in, the nursery workers get discouraged sometimes. I wonder how many people go by the nursery and say, man, thanks for cleaning them dirty diapers up. You know, seriously, that's a rough job in the nursery. But guess what? Little Susie's mommy got saved that day.
Yeah,
and it's because a nursery worker did their job.
Amen. That's good.
Amen?
That's right.
Nursery worker. But you can get bogged down in serving. You think, well, you know, no one cares I'm in here. Yes, we do. We're thankful that you're in the nursery.
That's right.
Amen. Don't get bogged down. Oh, you know, pastor's wife hadn't been in the nursery only 10 times this month. You know? I've had to be in here all week. It's a revival meeting. I haven't heard but one message. Honey, turn that volume up in there. They got a TV in there sometimes. You can hear it in between. Wah, wah. Get a choir going. Wah, 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 wah. Get it going good, man. Evangelize that nursery. Preach to them little babies. You little sinners, you rotten little runts. You brats. Preach to them a little bit. Amen. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get a different attitude, man. Amen. Y'all used to be in the nursery. Don't laugh so hard. You were little brats too. Amen. Oh, man. You see, we get bogged down with what we're doing. Man, I drove a bus route, and when I drove a bus route, we'd have them little kids. Man, we had 40 on our bus in a town of 2,500 people. Little kids would come and get on that bus, and we'd bring them. And one little girl one day, She was standing at the bottom of the steps, and I said, Lori, get on the bus. She's going. I said, come on, we got to go home, get on the bus. And she had a big smile on her face. Finally, she stepped up them three, four steps and said, Brother Jack. I said, what? Get in your seat. She says, I got saved today. I'm sitting there going, woo, amen. It was fun.
Amen.
It was fun. See, but we can get bogged down. Get on the bus and sit down and shut up. I want to go home and eat. You know, the real nice bus drivers. They're psycho. Could be psychosomatic or something. Crazy, you know. Woo. But you know, when you do it with your heart, your heart, you'll be glad that little girl got saved.
Amen, bro.
That little girl grew up and works in a bank. It doesn't profit me nothing, but she works in a bank, amen? And she goes to church faithfully. So bring me some money, honey. Yeah. No. But, you know, get bogged down and start. What about Sunday school class, huh? I'm gonna make this comment. We've got some used-to-bes in here tonight. Used-to-be. You know what they used to do? They used to teach Sunday school class. Now it's going to get real quiet. He used to be a bus worker. I told you it's going to get quiet. Maybe you used to be a deacon, and you became a demon. You don't deek no more. I'm just plain Southern. You have to remember that. I'm just a plain old country boy. And I just love God, and I want to help you tonight.
Amen.
There's too many used-to-bes in our church. Too many used-to-bes. What about soul winning? Well, we used to go. The greatest thing in the world is to lead someone to the Lord.
That's right.
I get so excited when someone gets saved. It just goes right through me. I get excited. I got it. That's the way. Woo. Surfing. Oh. Hey, here the thing is. I loved working in junior church.
Amen.
And you know, if we used to be a junior church worker, why aren't we doing it now?
Yeah.
What happened? See, I get excited when a little kid gets saved. I get excited when an old man gets saved.
Amen.
I'm saved, don't worry. Amen? I'm an old man, but you know what? I don't want no used to be's. I want to see some people get right tonight and get back to doing what they're supposed to do. You know, even if it's carpet, cleaning the carpet. Amen? Oh, cleaning the carpet. I got my cane over there. Cleaning the carpet. You know, vacuum for Jesus. Do-do-do. I've been in some churches where they got in an argument who was going to change the light bulb before evening service.
Wow.
They had to hire someone to do it.
Wow.
I was in a church in Tallahassee, big church like this one. Guess what? The bus driver for the little kids got sick. I mean, he got sickly. He got real piney. Bad. Guess what happened? Pastor's in the pulpit. He says, folks, we have an emergency. Brother John has had to go home or to the hospital. We don't know if he's having a heart attack or what. We've got 50 kids out on that bus, and we need a bus driver. Who will drive the bus? Nobody over there. Pastor went over here, and he said, well, listen, all right, let's do this. I'll pay, the church will give you $100, whoever will. And they got in an argument who was going to do it. You know, where are we in our service? What are we supposed to be doing? I wanted to drive it home, not for the 100, but I couldn't because I had my bus. But, you know, what are we doing? We're supposed to be serving, but see, we're getting bogged down. We're letting every little whim that comes along. We're letting everything under the sun bug us. I got to sit a minute. So we're letting everything bug us. The third thing is this. Silly things get us mad. What does it really mean? A silly thing. It didn't mean nothing anyway. Don't worry about it. It's going to come out in the wash. Wash. I said wash. Sorry. You know, think about it. Silly things. Pastor, I think so-and-so is not doing a good job in that Sunday school. I want that job. That's silly. God's going to put you where he wants you. He might put you on a shelf. Silly things can bug us to death. I want to go back to used to thing, used to be. The used to be thing, I know a pastor, I was at Tennessee Temple, and this preacher was in charge of a church, and he preached, and he was a real good guy. But he got sick, and something happened, and I was visiting him. and from the Sunday school class there at Temple or Highland Park, the Church of the Green Light. And I went out to his house and I knocked on his door, and we took cassettes. We took cassette players to him. It was what they call shut-ins. I took him a cassette player and he played it. And he said, "Brother Jack, thank you so much for bringing all this tapes and that preaching. I said, it really helps me." And I said, "We're glad to do it. Our Sunday school class does that." And he showed me a place on his leg, and it was about that big, and it was very gross. He said, "I have cancer, Brother Jack." And I said, "Oh, man." I didn't know much about cancer in the 70s, and I said, "Phew." But here he is. I went in, I was kind of getting ready to leave, and I'm looking around here, and I see all these bookshelves full of books. Nothing but preaching books. I mean, Moody, all of them. I said, "What do you got all those for?" He said, "Brother Jack, I used to be a preacher." I said, "Used to be?" He said, "Yes, sir. I had an affair," he said, "with a woman, and the church rightly threw me out. But God put me on a shelf." You can be a used-to-be for a while, but you're going to get put on a shelf if you don't get back where you used to be.
Amen.
And that's not hard theology tonight. You know, you're letting silly things bug you, keep you out. You're letting your service for the Lord be hindered. You know, we need, even you young people can be working in the church. And you probably do, most of you, I imagine. A lot of you help out. Cody helped me out. He became the pastor tonight when I got here. He went over and I said hi to him. And I didn't think for a minute it was not real friendly. You know, it kind of scared me. I mean, especially when he was going like bam, bam, you know. No, he didn't do that. So I walked in the back and I said, hey, Cody. All right, buddy. Look at that. I love that boy. So we went in the back and he showed me where the piano was and saw Brother Weir over there, and he vacated real quick. I had a 357 on him. No, he let us have the room. It was a blessing. We went in there and practiced a little bit and prayed and got right with the Lord. They did. We all did. And but, you know, we could get put on a shelf very easy. Cody's a young boy. He could grow up here, even preach. I don't know. You know, churches, we don't see people surrendering like we used to, do we, preacher? What's going on? I remember when I surrendered my life, man. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world to surrender and say, "Oh, God, thank you for allowing me to be what you want me to be. I just want to serve you, Lord." And that's my desire now, is to serve the Lord. When we get bogged down, you've seen them races where they go into them things, whoa, and they're all racing. All of a sudden, you see one over here, and he's bogged down. He's wrecked. He's flipped over, you know. He's laying there all bogged down. "Someone turn me back upside down. I don't want to give you all an upside down. Get me upright. Get me upright. Come on, get me out of here." No, you can't. We can't get in there. It's too slick. That's what happened to us. We get bogged down and we can't move. Well, all you got to do is say, "Lord, help me." And he's immediately going to help you.
That's right.
You won't be bogged down no more. A church like this here, I know that you have a lot of Sunday school room. You know, Sunday schools are built from one room to the next room. They really are. I don't know. Some of you are missing the mark tonight. And those sins are hurting you. You're being bogged down with those sins in your life. You know, they're not worth it. One of these days you're going to be in heaven. Did you know in heaven there's going to be a time when there's going to be some tears? And it's going to be because of what we did for the Lord, or what we didn't do for the Lord. And we knew to do it, and we didn't do it. He'll come, he says he'll wipe away all the tears. Personally, we'll be crying. He'll wipe away our tears, Brother Steve. Just wipe them away.
Amen.
Wipe them away. And there'll be no more tears, but we'll be a sorry person right then. That's Bible now. You see, I mean, I have to give an answer. Every man shall give an account. Your account building? Oh, it's getting quiet. We're getting down to nitty-gritty now. We're getting ready to close. Listen, I'm going to see you serving God. We need help in our school. We need a principal in our school. I know it's down there somewhere. I'm looking through my bifocals. We need a principal to come and help run our school. Me and Brother Steve, we can't run it. Suzanne can't. We need a couple to come and work together in our school. Laborers. Brother Roloff told me years ago, he said, Brother Jack, laborers are few. And he used the scripture and I signed right there where he told me that. I read that verse. Laborers are few. Can you all see me back here and hear me? Amen. Over there, amen. Good. Good. Some of you young people need to come forward and say, you know what? Lord, I want to surrender my life, Lord. And God wants me to preach. Now, you women, ladies can't come and preach. But you can proclaim the gospel. So, if you come forward tonight, a young man or a young lady, and say, I just want to, you know what serving God is? It's just this. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. I remember when Karen and I did that. 1975, we got on our knees and we said to the Lord, Lord, anything. We was a couple, young couple like y'all. Said, Lord, whatever you want us to do, we're going to do it.
Amen.
Tonight, maybe a couple here that needs to be back and serving God. You know what would happen tonight if your pastor stood up here and people came and said, Brother Tracy, I've been bogged down. I want to serve God here. He'll faint. There's 10 people in line maybe. Brother Tracy, wake up. Did they say that? He snaps up and said, yes, you can serve here. You can serve. There's bus vans and bus routes and Sunday school class. It's cleaning the building, helping out, being an encouragement to the pastor and his staff. Amen? Good men wanting to serve you. And they want you to help them. You see, remember the Lord, what he did? How many did he have following him? Had a multitude. He turned around, there was only 70 there. What happened to the multitude? Multitude, usually thousands. Went in the upper room. He had problems, but he knows one thing. He knew he was God, and people would bow. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that he's the Lord. Amen? So we need to realize this tonight. Let's think about what I'm saying. Maybe some of you are mad at me right now. That's all right. Pastor said I could preach. Amen? I'm preaching the word tonight. Just come tonight. Will you come tonight and just surrender and say, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. A young person, maybe. Maybe you've been a little booger. I mean, acting up at home, disrespecting your mom and dad. You know what you need to do? You need to get on your knees and say, Lord, help me. And go get your mom and dad if they're here and say, I am so sorry. I'm going to try to do my best and pray for you, mom and dad, that you have to put up with a rascal like me. I didn't have really a mom and dad growing up. But if you got one, you better respect them and love them.
That's right.
What about your wives? Do you love and respect your wives? Or are you bogged down with that? You know, the biggest thing now is people are getting divorces. 1 in 3 in Christian realm. That's awful. You know, live with a guy. I mean, it'd be like Karen. We've been together 45 years, and she says, all right, Jack, I'm going to leave you for this guy. I'm going, what? Honey, we've been together 45 years, but I'm tired of it. That happens. Someone told me the other day that someone was married 50 years and divorced them. I can't believe this. See, there's no relationship like there used to be. Mom, you know, I like the family. I'm the beaver type guy. Mom and dad and all that. You said, it ain't like that. Why isn't it like that? The world programmed you.
That's right.
The world programmed you to be the opposite. We need to sit down and pray. The Waltons, as bad as they were, they'd sit down and pray. I remember my grandpa and them, they'd pray. Grandma would come in at night. She'd tuck me in. She'd say, Jackie, God loves you. And she'd quote a verse. She'd say, a poem. She'd say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. She'd make us say that prayer. Every Saturday night we stayed with her. She made us go to church. We go, oh, man, got to go to church. Oh, I hate going to church. But see, we got bogged down. This is your family here, your church family. We do this stuff together. Serving God. And I'm afraid our churches are getting so doggone bogged down, it's pathetic. It's horrible. We need to get out of it. These girls get bogged down. They get those little attitudes like some of you get. Oh, yeah. They can get some attitudes. You say, don't mess with your hair. I said, don't mess with your hair. Messing with their hair. You know? I get a big pair of scissors and reach over and go, you can play with it now. Man, I tell you, people just, it's crazy, isn't it? Isn't it crazy? Come on now, church. And we're getting all out of line with God and bogged down. I feel like I'm bogged down with this cane sometimes. But you know what? If I have to crawl up them steps, I'm going to. Amen? I stayed on my outline tonight. Can't believe it. What about this? Bogged down with salvation. Don't want to get saved. Bogged down. And then they got all these different things that, oh, you got to be a good little boy to get saved. You don't have to be a good little boy. You're just a rotten sinner. You need to say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I need you, Jesus. Amen. Come into my heart. Amen? Amen. But it ain't like that anymore. People think they got to go to church. I thought when I was a little guy, I thought you had to go to church to be a good boy, and then you'd be all right and go to heaven. It wasn't like that. We get bogged down in every whim there is about salvation. It's just simple. Just trusting. All the songs we sing talking about the Lord. But we get bogged down. Bogged down. The chariots lost their wheels. And it drove them straight into the ground like that. They had nowhere to go. And they said this, we got to get out of here. Their God's coming to get us. And they died, all of them. All the men, it said. All the chariots went and buried. All the horsemen were gone. But guess who was on the other side, walking on dry land? Moses and the men and the families. Woo, we got through that, and Moses. Yeah, we did, didn't we? The Lord was with us all the way. The Lord's going to be with you all the way. Oh, man, can you imagine walking around with Moses? But you know, they got through that skirmish, and they got another one coming up. And they started complaining. Well, Moses, you know, we need to go back to Egypt. Can you hear them guys? I mean, they just come out of bondage. See, that's what used to be's do. They go back where they were. They go back where they used to be. You know, they ought to start a church. I figured this out the other day. They ought to start a church called the Used to Be Community Church. Huh? What do? They don't do nothing because they used to be. Huh? I'd rather be a little busy bee. Busy, busy all the time. Man, oh, life. And you know what's going to happen? People are going to love you because you're sweet. You bring forth honey. Amen. That's what my honey is, the sweet. She's sweet. We've been married 45 years this month. And she's still got them beautiful blue eyes. Oh, yeah. I go, give me a moosh. Get away, Jack. I do that in public sometimes. It embarrasses the daylights out of her. But you know what, folks? Isn't it fun? I have fun serving God, Brother Amen. Tracy. I really do. Amen. We have a lot of heartaches, Brother Steve. And Joey, we have a lot of heartaches and hurts. But you know what, folks? I'm a Christian, and I want to serve Him. Do you know why? Because the Bible says He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Isn't that wonderful? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What about it tonight, church? As your pastor prepares for invitation, I'm going to close it right now. I have more points. I have one more. How about the bogging down for depression? Huh? So many people bogged down. Christian workers that used to serve God bogged down because of depression. Well, you just don't understand. God does. God understands. Isn't that wonderful to know that our Lord understands? Amen. Well, I hope I didn't step on your toes because if I did step on your toes, I was aiming for your heart. Amen. You have one of these? You need this one? All right. Bogged down. How about it? Let's get out of the rut and the mud. All right? Lord, help us in invitation. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.